Hey guys, it's Brianna here. Welcome to another episode of Oh Brother, your favorite Big Brother podcast, where I'm joined by my Big Brother obsessed friends to chat all things BB. Listen as we discuss all of the alliances, backdoors, and twists you love to watch. Plus, we'll let you in on some live feed moments that you may have missed. Enjoy! Christina, welcome back. How are you doing?
Thank you. Been good. How about you?
Pretty good. This is kind of random, but I was just eating ramen. And I don't know if you are a fan of ramen, but whenever I eat ramen, I sweat my ass off. I'm literally over here like sweating.
What do you put in it?
It's literally just the chicken ramen. I put a little bit of cheese and a little bit of sriracha, but like not that much.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever put cheese in there. That's a good thought to do.
Oh, yeah. A little slice of American cheese.
With Parmesan. Oh, American cheese.
Yeah. Come on. You got to spice it up
like
a little.
Mac and cheese chicken noodles.
Exactly. But for some reason, whenever I eat it, I sweat my ass off. So I'm over here dying.
Wait. So I have a question, though. This is going to be the weird question of the episode.
Okay.
Do you keep broth in your ramen?
I do.
You eat it just like noodles? Okay, I do, too. And I
prefer
I know people who don't. I mean, too, it's like, almost like pho.
Yeah,
like,
that's like the best part.
It's an O, pho. There's no tilde over it. All right, accent, whatever you call it. But no, that's what I like. Except I like broth in my noodles. I like it like soup. I love soup.
I feel like you're supposed to keep the broth, unless because there are some kinds that are like
this
dry
has been
ramen.
A debate almost as important as the milk debate. But apparently, everybody that I know, other than like my family members who we grew up eating it with like broth in it. Oh no, that's weird. They're like,
no
broth
way.
They have like minimal broth and it's like mainly noodles. I'm like, they need mac and cheese.
No, I keep it all in there. Keep it all
in
there.
Oh, me too. I want
to. Exactly.
That's what I want. Noodles.
Slurping away. My mom called me while I was eating and I was like, apologies in advance if you hear me slurping. I'm eating ramen right now. And she's like, Brianna, first of all, why are you eating ramen at 3 p.m.? Second of all, put yourself
limit?
On mute. And I was like, listen.
What do you mean
lunch?
3 p.m.? It's afternoon. What am I
That's
supposed to
do
in the morning?
That's very true. Fair. I think she was just confused why I made my lunch so late.
Listen, let me tell you. I was just talking about one of my coworkers. I've skipped lunch in the past month. So.
Oh, boy.
I usually eat lunch as like an early dinner.
Yeah. A dinner situation.
Right.
Anyways, that's totally unrelated. But had to throw that in there because I'm literally over here sweating right now.
The ramen sweats.
Seriously. Let's jump right in. So rewind to Sunday's episode. At the top of the episode, the mamas, as I've been calling them, Ceree and Felicia, and Matt. Yes, the mamas and
my mom
Matt and Jag.
Felicia the robe lady.
The robe lady? She should call Ceree the robe lady. Ceree wears the robe
she hates
more.
Her. She goes, she's disgusting. Well, I'll get this. So I had to catch up on the episode late because I was in Florida. I was away from my computer and, you know, civilization. So I came back and I'm watching it. My mom's like, oh, I need that robe lady gone. I go, who are you talking about? I thought she was talking about Ceree. I go, I love Ceree.
Yeah.
And I noticed Ceree wears the robe too. She goes, no, the bald one. I go, okay, that's harsh. I go, listen.
Also, no shade to your mom, but if she's this far into the season and she doesn't know their names.
Well,
come on,
she
girl.
Knows their names, but when like, when we sit down and watch it, she'll know their names.
Yeah.
But like when we're talking on the phone, she can't process that fast.
She can't think
and
of
she's
it.
She's like, ah, Ceree's son, stupid head.
Ceree's
like, oh,
son.
Jared.
Well, I don't mind that. I feel like, oh my God.
She Matt's name. She calls Jag something.
My phone thought that. I was talking to it when I said Ceree. Oh my God, I need to keep it far away.
Oh, we'll talk about, I don't know what else to call her.
I don't know. Jared's mother. That's an insult.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so she calls her robe lady and tells me how disgusting it is. But
I mean, I would probably be a robe lady too.
I'm like, Mom, they got laundry and they're in the house all day. They ain't going in the city.
And that house is freezing. So
is it?
Yeah, they always complain about how cold it is. That's why Bowie's always wearing a parka.
Oh.
You know that big ass parka she carries around is the best thing she wore in the house.
I'll be like, yo, everybody turn the heat up and we're not moving out of this bed.
I think it's because of all the lights. Because, like, the lights will overheat. Yeah.
Weird.
Production stuff. So, anyways, yeah, the mamas and Matt and Jag make a final four deal. which I think we all saw this coming. Jack has been talking for a while about his ideal Final Five, Final Four scenarios.
I didn't think he took it seriously. I thought he was going to like ditch it.
I mean,
but it makes sense.
He is one of those people that flip flops back and forth between like what he wants to do.
Well, we see that, yeah.
But it seems like they're sticking to it. We'll see. We also had that flashback where Corey was like straight up lying to Bowie just to make her paranoid about Matt and Jag being like,
oh my God, right?
They might take the mamas to Final Four over you, which I think.
I mean, he was right, but yeah, he didn't know that.
I think that's true. Especially now, which we'll talk about later, but especially now that Bowie has another win under her belt, she's a little bit more intimidating to them. I think maybe if she hadn't won another competition, they would have been more likely to try to take her further because they think
what was
they
the
could
first
beat her.
Comp she won? Was that also like a brain comp? Whatever
it was another question.
Comp?
It was another question.
Yeah,
one.
So
yeah, true,
I
false.
I think they're going to start worrying because once it gets down to Final Three, isn't one of them like something like that?
Yeah, most of the competitions towards the end are those like question type of comps.
Yeah, well, they have one that's like an endurance thing. Half the time it's what? The sit on the bowl thing. What was that other one?
They
was
have
that Derek's season? They had one where it was like an endurance thing where they had to like stand there or sit there or something.
And then they had the one where it was like you run across the beam thing and you have to like dodge the obstacles that come down.
Something like that.
There's like all these different ones they've done. But yeah, it's usually like a physical and then
mental. Second one's like a mental and then
And they always have like a days competition, like a memory competition towards the end where they have to remember stuff throughout the season. So I think they're a little bit worried about Miss Bowie Jane.
I like those ones and I think it's because it's not like somebody like anybody random come in. If they have to actually try and be good at the comp. Like you know how those comps, like stupid ones that like you really don't have to be good at it. It's kind of just like luck.
Yeah, like
I hate those
crapshoot one.
Like roll the ball and see where it lands. Like come on.
Yeah, at least with the later ones, they give them a little bit more control over winning.
Yeah, and I kind of like the whole like they have to have at least some sort of skill or
true,
something.
Yeah. Yeah, something going for them that
but
gets them
I think
that
they're definitely after these past few weeks are more skeptical of taking her because of they want a guaranteed win.
Yeah, and Corey did a good job of like planting that seed because since he was on his way out, like she was kind of like, well, he has nothing to lose, so why would he lie to me?
Well, nothing. Corey's a good like manipulator at times, but I mean, once you get caught, it's kind of like okay.
Yeah, now nobody's
even if
really
you
gonna believe
caught
you.
And it's something that's not true. Once you get accused of something, it never goes away.
Right, exactly. I feel like he's had kind of like a dark cloud above him ever since the like fight with Jared. Even though
I was just gonna say,
Jared
yeah,
came out looking worse. It still
even
is
though
like
Corey really didn't
remember.
Do anything.
Yeah,
it was. You know, he's involved in it.
Right. People are still going to remember that.
Yeah.
But Bowie takes this information to Jag and is basically like, listen, I trust you guys, but I'm feeling a little bit unsure. Like, I just want to make sure I'm not going to go up next week. I've been told that you might be planning to take Suri and Felicia over me. And so both Jag and Bowie, I think, are starting to distrust each other because A, Bowie is hearing this information from Corey, and then Jag is seeing she's getting like really emotional. So he's like, oh, okay, maybe our trust is not as strong as I thought it was.
Honestly, though, if I were in an alliance with somebody, I would rather that happen, them come to me and be like, hey, this is what's happening. I'm letting you know how I feel, versus them not saying anything, keeping it to themselves and kind of being a little like sus about it.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes sense. I'd rather them, like, Bowie seems like she wears her heart on her sleeve, and she has basically this whole season. So if she's going to him saying, I don't really know how I feel, like, I need to, like, get some reassurance or something, like, that's normal.
Yeah, especially where this crew has, like, kind of a hard time keeping information to themselves. It's better to just go to Jag and say, listen, this is what I heard. Tell me if it's true or not.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, like, say she took that information and then was, like, complaining to Matt or someone else about it and then it got back to Jag, that would have been bad for her. So better to just get ahead of it, I guess, and like say it to Jag, kind of get a read on what he says and go from there.
I agree.
So then we had the HOH competition, which was the demented dentist. And the scariest thing about that competition was Johnny Mac's hair.
Oh my God. So I was actually really, I wish that that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know.
Whole comp,
for more than one reason, yeah. A, Johnny Mac looked scary. And B,
thing was blurry the whole time. I'm like, isn't it even weirder?
Yeah. And I also saw some stuff on Twitter that made me really sad about him, that apparently he's like not a great person. So yeah, just don't look at his Twitter. Don't look at his like tweets. We'll just remember the Johnny Mac that we once knew and loved, and forget about this weird new Johnny Mac, because
I want to go look it up.
No, don't. You don't want to. Just pretend it never happened.
Yeah, but that's like if somebody was like, yo, I love Doja Cat. She's so great.
I know.
I'd rather know.
That's true. It's a sad day, truly. But aside from the Johnny Mac of it all, I did like this competition. It seemed really hard because
I like the ones where they split them up and do that.
Yeah, where they're like together,
and they do
but
their
not
own thing. Yeah, and then I also like the fact that even though they were split up, they all had to go to the same places at the same time.
Like pass by each other.
I kind of like that. It was like, well, deal with it.
Yeah, it adds a little factor of like, oh shit, you really have to like light a fire under your ass because these people are moving fast. We're all stumbling over each other. At first, when they showed Felicia get them all wrong on her first guess, I was like, oh shit, she's not really trying. But then almost every other single person did the exact same thing. So I think it was just that they didn't realize how specific.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
They all had to go back and recheck them.
This goes this way.
I was surprised nobody did the BB comic strategy where, like, once they realized that the photos were more similar than they thought, I think my strategy would have been, go in, look at the pictures, put together all the ones that are really similar to each other, and then go back and check.
Like all the ones with the chipped middle tooth.
Right.
Put them there.
Right.
I would have done the same exact thing, and I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, everyone just kind of looking at the wall. Granted, we don't hear if they have additional rules. I'm still convinced that like they don't go over like the specifics, because I guarantee you they have questions. Like, if I were to get like instructed, I'd be like, hey, I have a question.
Oh yeah,
I'm
they do a whole thing with the producers before where they get to ask any questions and get
so
clarity.
I guarantee you somebody asked, can we take them down and line them up? They might have said no, because I kind of think it makes for better TV.
Yeah, totally. They want to make it, optimize it for like the best dramatic viewing experience, that's for sure. The strategy that cracked me up and was the dumbest thing I've ever seen is Blue trying various combinations without checking to see if they even matched up. Like, she was just throwing shit and pushing the button.
Like,
there are some competitions where you can do that, and this is not one of them.
No. It's not like an ABC multiple choice.
Yeah. I was like, girl, you're making yourself look stupid. You're wasting time. You gotta hustle. Towards the end, Felicia was really close, but Jag ended up winning it. And I was like, was that real, or is that just how they edited it to make it seem like it was a like neck and neck finish?
Honestly, who knows?
Can't say I was super surprised that Jag won another HOH. We are living in hell.
Right. I would have loved this like a month and a half ago, but
I know now it's just like it's the same people over and over. But I did like that he got his little "Who Wants to See My HOH Room" segment. It's the first time they've done it this entire season.
Yeah, that's why I was like, did they not do that?
Yeah, I think even in the past seasons, like they usually will only do it certain weeks. But I think this is the longest we've gone without them doing any like segments, and it's probably a symptom of the fact that like the same people kept winning over and over again. So they were probably like, oh, we have certain people whose photos or letters or whatever we think would make like for a better moment in the episode.
Oh,
and
problem.
Like those people just weren't winning, so they were like, well, I guess we're not doing it. The wedding photo was so sweet though. They did the little cardboard cutout of his face at the wedding, the family wedding.
Cute.
That was cute. And Matt was like, I'm glad I saved him that week, because He would have gotten evicted the week of the wedding and still missed it. So he was like, he didn't miss the wedding for no reason. Like, he got to stay.
That's sweet.
Very
sweet. This is why Matt should win.
I know. I really want him to win. I'm really pulling for him at this point. So as HOH Jag realizes, like, he has no choice. He has to nominate America. There's really no way around it, given everything that's gone down. But he also knows that he can't really nominate Bowie because they already are a little shaky on the trust scenario. So he's trying to figure out who he wants to put next to America. Felicia's hardcore pushing to use Bowie Jane as a pawn, but again, Jag is just like not really into that idea because he doesn't want to, he basically wants to rebuild the trust that him and Bowie had. So he's like, that's not really an option. And then he decides that he wants to nominate Blue. And originally I think his idea was nominate America and Blue, we'll send America out. But then he realizes that Blue is way bigger of a threat than America is. So we're going to tell Blue that she's the pawn, but she's actually the target.
I know. And like, it seemed like this not came out of nowhere, but like,
I kind of saw it coming just based on like who's left. Like, she's the only other competition threat, I feel like.
True.
So it made sense. But also the way they went about it was like really shady. Like, they
made I was like, wait, what?
They basically told her that America was the target, and the reason they were going to nominate her was because they needed her to compete in veto in order to ensure that America stayed on the block.
Yeah.
Which, like, feeds into the ego, and for someone like Blue, that's perfect. She bought it, and I was like, that's very embarrassing.
Yeah.
I feel like she, in some cases, had a really good read on the house and, like, certain relationships, but then in other cases, she had her blinders on. Like, whenever it came to Matt and Jag, even though they've proven to her that she can't trust them, she still continues to, like, blindly trust them, which I think was, like, her biggest mistake. Yeah, that's true, too. I guess she didn't really have many other strong competitors to work with, so it was slim pickings out there, but I think she probably should have, like, banded together with America sooner. I think her throwing America and Corey under the bus in the moment was good for her. It bought her another week, but we see how that turned out in the end. I think she should have stuck with them. So Jag tells Blue she's a pawn, and I would like to point out that in the episode, I don't think they showed it, but Blue was the last person he talked to when he did his, like, meetings with everybody before nominations, which I feel like should have been a big red flag to her. But for some reason, it didn't come off that way. She thought, you know what? They want me to.
Well, because what is she going to do? Stir something up, you know?
True. Yeah, I guess you can't really say anything because, you know, you're at risk of going home.
Yeah.
America makes a deal with Jag, and she's basically like, if I stay this week, you will have safety. If I win HOH, if I don't win HOH, but I win veto, I will use my veto in your favor. If I don't win HOH or veto, you will have my vote moving forward. And, like, honestly, a very convincing pitch.
She almost should have done this a few weeks earlier.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. And I like these kinds of deals because I feel like in old school seasons of Big Brother, we saw more short-term deals, whereas now I feel like we talked about this before, but
they're like promises.
The new seasons, it's like, unless we're in an alliance and like we're going all the way to the end together, people don't make these short-term deals anymore.
No,
but I feel like these are the kind of things that like buy you another week and that kind of thing. So I liked seeing America put that out there. I just, like you said, think it was like too little too late, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
So Jag, not surprisingly, decides to nominate America and Blue. His target is Blue. She doesn't know that. And in his speech, he mentioned the Aston Moron just clipped your wings, which was a call out to America's.
I can't believe they're still calling
him. Speech. I know. And then he said to Blue, she wants trouble. Let's make it double to try to, like, I guess, make Blue more comfortable in the fact that she's quote unquote playing for Matt and Jag to get America out.
Yeah.
They've gotten so, like, I feel like they've gotten too into their speeches and making them like
try to be something.
Yeah, there's too many like inside jokes and like stuff like that. I'm like, for the viewers, it feels a little
just
bit
shut up, like annoying. Forced.
Yeah, so it's very forced. Forced is a good word. Like, the best speeches are the ones that you could tell they have a little bit of planning, and like they throw a couple references or like digs in there or whatever it is. But
I you feel don't, like it's not
they're
funny when
trying
someone
too
sees it
hard.
coming.
Yeah, and also, yeah, exactly. To your point, Blue and America both knew about the speech before that he did it, so it didn't have the same effect, I feel. Jumping over to the next episode, there were a couple fun segments, which I feel like we can just talk about all of those at once, because this is when you can tell they're starting to get down to like only a few people, because they have more of these like random segments thrown in. But the first one was the Matt and Ceri segment, where they were like just going off about how Matt and Ceri are like unlikely friends, which I thought was cute, but kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
It didn't really add
it's
too much.
It's kind of filler.
Yeah. The Felicia chicken wing in the pocket segment, though.
That's what my mom was
me.
talking about. She's like, this disgusting. Like, mom, relax. It was in a bag.
It was in a baggie. And like, I don't know.
I go,
like,
okay, the Oreo. I don't know about that.
Yeah, the Oreo raw in the pocket is a little bit suspicious. Not gonna
raw,
lie.
Raw in the pocket.
But the one that took me out the most is the baked potato.
Oh my god, that I love how she just looked at America and she goes, I got a baked potato in my pocket. Like as if that's some like sly like pickup line. I got a baked potato in my pocket.
And the way she like so suspiciously slid it out of her pocket and just threw it on the table and then put it back and like saved it for later. But you know the reason why she does it is because the people in that house are vultures. If you leave something, they will eat it.
She said that. She goes,
so
they're gonna eat
keep
my
it
food
on her person. It happened to Mimi. The Matt and Jag ate something of hers, her like sirloin steak or something like that, and she was pissed. So then when they did those like Easter baskets where they all got like goodies or whatever, Mimi like hid all of her stuff under her clothes.
Not,
she was like,
not
I'm not letting
just
that happen
that,
again.
but Muffingate, man.
Oh my god, yeah, throwback.
I'm
That was
saying.
A fun one. I was so glad that that made the edit that season. So
No,
funny.
I remember you told me about it, and I'm like, huh? You're like, just wait.
Just wait for us. So good. Oh, so good.
With everything going on in this house, sometimes I just need a warm pastry to make me feel good. I want two muffins, so I'm going to put them bad boys in a bag and save them for later.
Wait, who ate my muffin?
Well, well, well. Looks like there's a muffin man on the loose in the Big Brother house, and it's up to me to find out who it is.
Question, the two muffins I set on the table to save, one of them's half. Y'all know by chance who ate half of my muffin? Who ate the half?
Everybody's lying in my face.
There's two muffins sitting on the table.
I'm just saying.
It was not me.
I want them to tell me. Hopefully they let me in. They might be asleep for the night. I don't know.
So if y'all have some footage that y'all would like to release to me, that'd be great.
I don't think we can do that.
Dang it!
It is now being digested by yours truly, and I'm happy about it.
Sorry. I can't rest until I figure it out.
Oh, and then they finally got their grill. So they had the little segment where Matt and Jag were grilling. They have no clue what they're doing. I don't think they should be operating any.
I wish that they did a segment again this year where they asked for like the random crap. Who was it that kept asking about the hot tub?
Oh my gosh, I think that was Memphis.
It was Memphis. That, the hot tub,
yeah, he was like about the hot tub. And then was it Kaser that was asking for a bunny or like a pet?
The animals and everyone.
Yeah. They used to do more stuff like in the early seasons. They used to do America's Choice or whatever it was called, and America got to vote for certain house guests to get like certain things. So like one person would ask for like a trampoline for the house, and then one person would ask for like I don't know something random that they wanted for the house, like a toaster. I don't know, something stupid like that. They would ask for like an appliance or like a fun thing or an exercise thing. And then America got to vote on like who they wanted to gift whatever it was they had asked for. And they don't do shit like that anymore.
No.
That stuff was fun.
No, it sucks. I like that stuff.
Me too. Makes it more fun. It's like the food competitions. Those are always so fun to watch. And I feel like it makes the bond, it kind of like bonds the house guests the game. In a lot of ways. But also,
it's not just about competition. It's like y'all did this stupid thing together.
Yeah, you gotta fight for your food, but also sometimes it causes rifts because like if certain people aren't pulling their weight in the food competitions or
they're
being selfish.
I don't wish that they did that, meaning like the food comps, like you gotta work for your food, but I wish that they did the comps in order when like HOH or Vito or something, but just the food in general was funny.
Yeah, agreed. So Jag tells Sari that even though America seems like the likely target, he actually wants to take out Blue, but he's not going to tell Felicia that. And I'm saying to myself, Jag, you should be telling Felicia and not Sari, because Sari is the one who's working with Blue. I was like, boy, just keep your mouth shut. You don't really need their votes. Only votes you need are Matt and Bowie, and you break a tie. So, like, I don't know. Maybe wait to clue them into your plan. Immediately, Sari starts dropping hints to Blue that she's the target. And then Sari starts dropping hints to Felicia that Jag is targeting Blue. And I think this is the first time that we've seen Sari get a little bit sloppy and like scramble a little bit with her gameplay. Mm-hmm. She did so well the first half of the season with her social game and like sneakily kind of manipulating people and getting on people's good side. But this like is not the Sari that I feel like I know. It was very strange.
Yeah, a little odd.
And Felicia was also like weirded out by it. She's like, why doesn't Sari just want to chill? We can be good with Matt and Jag, make Final Four. I think Felicia's ignoring the fact that Matt and Jag are really good at competitions. And so that's why Sari is a little bit questionable about it. She wants to keep Blue around to take them out. But Felicia, I think at this point, is thinking short term. She's like, how do we get to Final Four? And her clear path that she sees to Final Four is with Matt and Jag. So she's a little bit weirded out by the fact that Sari is doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, no, I get that. I agree with that.
And listen, you can't tell Felicia shit because you know she's going to rat on you. And that's exactly what she does. She immediately goes to Jag and rats on Sari. And Jag is like, okay, good to know. Don't feel like I can really trust Sari. Let me clue in Matt. So he lets Matt know, like, listen, Sari's running her mouth a little bit. Not quite sure if we can trust her. Let's kind of, you know, just be cautious about what we tell her. Keep her in our back pocket, but like, let's be cautious about it.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people were off this week.
Yeah, definitely. Like off their game. And
like, I don't want to say the vibe, but it was like, I'm trying to think the word for it. I don't remember the word for it. Basically, when it was just like, a lot of people were just off their game. Like, it's one of those weeks where it was just like, I don't know. I kind of noticed like certain people were just off.
I feel like because everyone's starting to realize that like, oh shit, I might have a chance to win this thing. Like, this is a pivotal time. There's so few of us left. Maybe. So people start to stress. And I think that's when like you said, people are a little bit off. They're a little bit wary of people that maybe they otherwise would trust. Because like we saw the same thing with Bowie too. Like all Corey had to do was put a little seed of doubt, and here she is crying on the couch to Jag, which we haven't really seen from her in the past. So crazy stuff. It's getting spooky in the Big Brother house.
Getting spooky.
Then they picked players for the veto competition. Of course, we know Jag, America, and Blue are playing. And then by random draw, we had Matt, Felicia, and Bowie Jane. And now we can say with certainty that Sari has never been picked for a veto, which is wild. The only she has played a veto is the time she was nominated. Every single other time, her chip was never pulled. So much so that the house guests even checked to see if she had a chip in the box, and there indeed was.
Do they allow them to do that?
Yeah, they do. I think like they have no reason not to let them, unless they really were manipulating it. But I was starting to feel, you know, a little suspicious of production, because not a single time. Like, I feel like this has to be a record for someone who
does never happened.
Right. And like, for someone who has been in the game for this long to never have their chip pulled is wild. I low-key think that Suri is loving it, though, because she's in her lazy girl era, and I don't think that she's really excited about being in the house, so I don't think she really cares that she doesn't get to play in any vetoes, to be honest.
She's like, okay. She's like, I ain't gonna win anyway.
I know, which is frustrating to watch. Like, I want to see people who want to play. The Power Veto competition was one where they have to put the photos in order, and this one always looks really hard, but I want to try it, because I feel like nobody ever does the strategy that I feel like makes the most sense, which is pull out two of the posters, put them in order, then pull out a third one, add that one into the order, then pull out a fourth one, add that into the order, like, rather than take them all out, line them up, and then shuffle them around, if that makes sense. Like, I would just go one by one and slot each one into where it fits versus putting them all out and then trying to, like, unscramble the puzzle. I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying it and, like, it's not that easy, but I just, every time I see people do this one, I'm like, why does nobody ever do that?
I feel like we always have these thoughts.
I know. We need to get in that house. We could see if we could put our money where
our mouth is. Listen, let me tell you, I like to think that I'd be good at this game, but I can guarantee you right now, I'd probably be the first evicted. They'd be like, this girl is annoying as hell. Get her out of here.
No way. You would have social game unlock for sure.
I'd meet too many friends. That's the thing.
You would be like Tyler Crispin. Everybody would be like, Christina, you want a final two? Christina, you want a final two?
I'd be like the final two. I have to make like my own alliance name.
Of like Christina plus the whole house.
Like the plus one.
Yeah. That would be funny. The top three times were Bowie Jane, Blue, and Jag. But again, Jag blew everyone out of the water. He was like a minute and a half faster than Blue's time. He finished it in 6 minutes, 22 seconds. And the thing about Jag is that I feel like with the timed competitions, he realizes, which is what I feel like the other house guests don't realize, you have to hustle. Like, yeah, you have to be accurate.
Who was it that was walking in the other competition the other
week? That's the thing. I'm like, okay, it's timed. Anywhere you can shave off, it could come up. It could be down to like 2 seconds who wins. So like, if you put your things on the board, you need to be racing to that button every time.
Yeah.
Racing to the button. But then like the second you push the button, keep going, because there's a good chance that it's not going to come up green. It's going to come up red. And you just wasted 5 seconds waiting for the button to light up whatever color. Like, hit the button and then keep going, because if it turns green, great, you finished. And if it turns red, you're already a couple seconds ahead, like working on fixing a mistake or whatever. And I feel like Jag's really good at that, whereas some of these other house guests are over there taking their sweet ass time. And I'm like, hello, hustle a little bit.
People are stupid.
It's so frustrating to watch. I'm like, come on, move your little legs.
Your little legs. Your little legs. I wish that they could have like hecklers.
Oh my god, I know. Like, like three people an episode that like get the opportunity to like yell some shit.
Grandma,
into the house.
What was it? The grandma or whatever for Brett?
Oh, yeah.
I want those people around the house.
We haven't seen that guy yet this season. He usually pops up for something, but he hasn't been back. That was a funny punishment. And Brett was like the perfect person to get that one.
Right? Oh my god, that was hysterical.
Rise and shine, Brett!
So, of course, we know Jag wins the veto and doesn't use it. And then at the very end of the episode, you know, after they do the veto ceremony and they're showing, like, the reactions of everybody in their DR segments, and America is, like, again, just saying, like, I know I made a deal with Jag, but I'm coming after him if I stay, which I love that kind of stuff. It's so funny to watch. This is why I wish we had live DRs, because sometimes I watch the live feeds and I'm like, why is this person saying this? Why is this person doing this? But then in their DRs, they're over here saying, I know I said I was going to do this, this, and this, but I was lying. But we don't know that when we watch the live feed. So sometimes people look stupid, but you don't really know that like they're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
So I wish we had live DRs. I think that one season of Big Brother Over the Top, they did have everything was live. I didn't watch that one either.
I watched that one.
That one was like,
I don't think they did.
No, that one was like a Paramount Plus only, where every single thing was on the live feeds. They didn't even have like episodes that aired on TV. It was just everything on the live feeds, all the nomination ceremonies, veto ceremonies, competitions, DRs, everything was live.
No, I didn't watch that
all
one.
The time. And I've heard the people that watched it in real time.
Oh
say
my
it was
God,
good.
That's who this girl is. Johnny Banana's girlfriend was on it, but they're not together anymore.
So yeah, she must have been on OTT. You know who else was on it? Do you remember Jason from Davon's season?
Oh yes, JC.
No, his name's Jason.
Oh, Jason.
Jason with the brown curly
him.
Hair. Remember Jason?
Yes. He has like, was a little on, like, thing in the front.
Yeah, he was on OTT too, I think. Like, he came back for that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if there were any other returning people, but...
I don't know these people. I know Julie Chen.
I know her too. You mean Julie Chen Moonves?
Yeah. Oh, my God. This girl is kind of scary.
Who?
The girl that was on it. This girl's a little scary looking. She reminds me of, like, a weird, basic version of Rockstar. All right.
Yeah, I didn't watch that season, but people talk about how... the live DRs were like really good, and sometimes I wish
they
had that.
Where was Cliff Hogg from?
Where was he from? Like where did he live? I don't remember.
The state, because there's a girl with a last name Hogg, and I'm like,
Oh, I feel like they would have said if they were related.
I mean, they might have. I'm trying to see if she posted about her father, but anyways, we'll continue.
To start off the double eviction episode, first thing I noticed was Julie had bangs, and she doesn't usually, I don't think. I liked the bangs. I thought it was funny because on Twitter, everybody was like, if Julie doesn't wear the bob for the double eviction, like, it's going to feel wrong. Like, she now it has to be a thing that she wears the bob on every double eviction so that when she greets the house guests, they freak out because they know it's for the double eviction.
A bob is back.
I think producers probably told her you're not allowed to do that, so maybe the bang was like her way of kind of like doing it without completely doing the bob again. I don't know, it was just a thought I had, but I liked the bangs. The bob was aggressive, the bangs were cute. Okay, so at the top of this episode, Ceri is still on a tear about wanting to vote out America and forcing Jag to be the one to break the tie. She tells this to Felicia, again, something she definitely shouldn't be doing when Jag is HOH. Felicia immediately goes to Jag and tells him that, you know, Ceri's still running her mouth. She even tells him that Ceri and Matt discussed when is the best time to take him out, which, like, he has to know that other people are thinking of that when he's won, like, 8 competitions. But of course, it's never nice to hear that your closest ally is talking to other people about, like, when to take you out.
Right.
I will say, though, when they showed the conversation between Ceri and Matt, she definitely, like, led him, like, kind of, like, forced the conversation out of him. I don't think he wanted to talk about, like, taking Jag out, but she was throwing, like, little Easter eggs and little jabs in there. So I think he kind of felt like, okay, I have to sort of give her what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to...
I mean, at the same time, though, it's a game. Me. Like, they're towards the end. Everyone's going to get rid of anybody. So it's like...
Exactly. Only one person can win, y'all.
Right?
Then we got to the first eviction. And again, the speeches with these weird inside jokes. Both America and Blue called out the names William, Sai, and Asan. And I had no clue what that was until I looked it up. Apparently, they are Jag's friends from home. So it was like an inside joke between them and Jag, I guess. I did like America calling out Jag's evil wrath. I thought that was funny. And talking about, and with the Mean Girls reference, that was also hilarious. Blue, by the way she was dressed, you could tell that she knew she was going home. There's America in her like sporty workout gear, and next to her is Blue in this whatever you want to call this outfit she was wearing, which I feel like is kind of a bummer because I didn't really watch that much feeds this week, and so I was like,
that helps.
I was like, I'm pretty sure Blue's gonna go home, but I don't know for certain. But then when I saw them sitting there in their outfits, I was like, okay, Blue is wearing a I'm going home outfit, and America's wearing a I have to play in a competition outfit. So we know who's going home.
Yeah, I think it was definitely, I mean, inevitable anyways, but
I feel like they should, production should find a way around that. Like, tell them to dress nice for the ceremony. Like, both of them should have to dress nice for the ceremony, and then give them like an extra minute before the competition to change or something. Because otherwise, I feel like it kind of ruins it for the viewers.
well, if you remember a couple of seasons ago, it was one person wearing sweats, the other person all dressed up. But now, at least to me, it seems like they've kind of evened out.
Sometimes, yeah. But this one was just very obvious to me. You know who was good? Was Janelle. When she came back,
Always dressing up.
she dressed up and she was like, I'm gonna have my sneakers and my like workout gear ready to go. And real quick after the eviction, she would run and like do a quick change and be ready to go on time for the competition. And like this, that's the energy that I need. It was a unanimous vote to evict Blue. Her walking out and talking to Julie was so awkward. I couldn't even listen to her interview. It was the most cringy thing I've ever seen. It maybe is the worst interview that I've ever seen anyone do with Julie, aside from the ones where Julie
It
like
was so weird.
straight up calls people out for shit that they've done. But as like a normal, like quote unquote normal interview for an evicted house guest, it was the most cringeworthy thing I've ever seen. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I don't even like it was just weird. I don't know. I didn't like it at all.
She comes off as like, I think she tries too hard to like portray this character. And I honestly feel like that comes from insecurity. Like, I feel like she's just not a very confident person. And so she tries to put on this like character for the cameras. And it came off like super disingenuous, like
Yeah, like
super
almost fake.
fake. Yeah, like it was very
Like, and
cringe.
like, it was already cringe when she was just doing the kitty crap. But now that it's like she went to that extent, even during the interview when she wasn't even in the house, it was like even weirder.
Yeah, I
Does
didn't
that make
like
sense?
it.
Like, it was just like, okay, like, showed up. Like, kind of just act normal, please. I'm not saying she doesn't act like this in real life. I mean, if she does, God help us all. But it was just odd. Julie was almost like, ha ha ha.
I know Julie was weirded out by it too. You could tell by her facial expressions.
She was like, act for the cameras.
I know, literally. I will say too that watching Blue on feeds as like her normal self was much more enjoyable than watching her DRs and like interview clips and stuff where she knew she was being filmed, which is just like proves that if you get in that house, just be yourself. Because I had much more fun watching her on feeds as her normal self than I did watching her try to put on this weird character that she's doing.
Right? And it was just not going to be missed.
Yeah, I was like, be yourself, girl. Also, go away. You're annoying me.
For real.
Then we get to the HOH comp, which was the triple feature. This one was hard. I was trying to play along and I was
I honestly
struggling.
didn't even try to play along because I was like, you know what? Nope.
Not worth it. I tried
Not
to,
at
and
all.
I got a few of them, but not all of them. I could see towards the beginning, I was like, okay, I really wanted America to win, but I could tell how nervous she was. Which probably, at least if it were me, if I was that nervous and I knew I had like basically no allies in the house that would keep me safe, I think my nerves probably would have got the best of me and I would have been very flustered and it would have been hard to pay attention.
I agree. I agree completely.
Again, Bowie somehow made it to the tiebreaker. It was Bowie and Matt way overshot his guess for, the tiebreaker question. And so again, Bowie won because the other person went over, basically, which is pretty
Yeah, right.
crazy.
Well, as soon as like, because she didn't she go, was it way under or way over last?
She was way under last time. She put like 27 and Felicia put like 80 million.
When I saw those two answers, I was almost like, it's going to be really close. There's no way it's going to be like 15 or 20,000. Like, it's going to be in between. That has to be. Like, one of them is going to be immediately
Oh
there.
yeah. I knew for sure like somebody was gonna go over.
Oh, yeah.
And of course it was Matt. So Bowie won her second HOH, which I never thought would ever happen.
Here
we are, Bowie winning in the double. For a split second, I was like, maybe, just maybe, she will be smart enough to nominate Matt and Jag. But then I came quickly back down to earth and remembered it's Bowie. And she doesn't do anything without Matt and Jag's buy-in. And so,
honestly, I thought she was going to put up Felicia and Ceree.
I had that thought, too. I knew it would be some combination of Felicia, Ceree, and America. Yeah, I think maybe if Jag had gotten in her ear a little bit more before the double, maybe Ceree would have gone up.
Honestly, though, I feel like this eviction, like when Bowie was injured, it was just so uneventful.
Oh, yeah, it was this, like, quote-unquote safest move she could have made.
No, but, like, just nothing happened really in between. It was just...
When they discussed or whatever. Drama, yeah, there really was no.
There was nothing. I was like, okay, fine by me. Like, I really wasn't looking for something crazy to happen getting America out. Like, I don't really care. I was like, okay, peace out.
Yeah, it did feel like that very. No, I feel like it did feel like a very lame double eviction, kind of predictable. Of course, we know she nominated Felicia and America, and then they played the Power of Veto competition, which I would like to say, I have a lot to say about this veto. First, this competition was the exact same competition almost that they did during the last double for the veto.
Yeah.
They did another ball pit
one.
And so, of course, the person who won it the last time is going to be the person who wins it this time. Matt won this competition both times. The other thing, which I think is very unfair, and I don't know how it ever made it through to the episode, is that did you notice that some people's ball colors were very similar to the colors of like the smaller balls? Whereas
I feel like that stuff happens like a lot. Like, they're either similar to each other's or the other ones.
Yeah, it just didn't feel fair. Like, Matt had this dark-ass blue, which he could see super easily. Like, when they were showing the, like, above shot, you could see all of Matt's, like, blue ones clearly outside of, like, the orange and the light orange and the light pink ones that were supposed to, like, throw you off. Bowie's were orange, and so they were blending in with the other orange balls, and Felicia's were pink, so those were blending in with the other balls. I was like, it feels very unfair that Matt, America, and Jag have colors that are very different from the other ball. Like, I don't know, it just to me felt very unfair. I was like, I can't even see Bowie's compared to the ones in her ball pit, whereas Matt's stick out like a sore thumb, so of course he's gonna find them super fast.
I agree, honestly. Like, you couldn't have even said it better.
I was like, it felt very rigged. I don't know.
I agree.
So Matt wins the veto yet again. He's very consistent with his double evictions, clearly. We got a little bit of, like, America frantically talking at him, being like, use the veto on me, use the veto on me. She kind of threw Ceree under the bus a little bit. And this is where I wish Jag had won the veto, because I think if Jag had won the veto, he probably would have taken either America or Felicia down and got Bowie to put up Ceree, and they might have sent Ceree out. But because I think Matt has a pretty strong bond with Ceree, and so he was not down for that plan. But I think if it were Jag, this double would have gone differently.
I think the same way, because I was worried this week that she would go, but
I mean, I was rooting for her to go.
Bruh,
she's so boring. She's boring.
I don't know.
Me.
I like her. Oh my god, that superhero thing! I was cracking up. I couldn't.
What was hers? The robot or something like that? She always wears her freaking robe. Ceree.
Oh no, I was talking about the superhero thing.
Oh, during comedy,
remember when she had to wear that costume? Yeah.
Oh, the punishment. Yeah, she was killing
She's
me
like,
with that.
Here we are.
That was kind of funny, but like towards the end, I was like, okay, like you clearly don't want to be here. Just go home.
Yeah.
I think she wants to go home. So I'm like, just send her out at this point. She doesn't give a shit.
Right.
She already won Trader. She doesn't need
They're
to be here.
They're just keeping her so they can get rid of her.
I know. America's speech was so sad. She was like so emotional. And I was like, okay, low key, if I were in the house, that probably would have made me cry.
I feel bad.
I know. I feel like most of the time when people do speeches like that, where they're like super emotional.
It's like, okay, shut up.
I'm like, oh, get over it. Like, that's not going to work. But it actually was like sort of compelling. I was watching it being like, oh my God, I feel so bad for this girl. Like, if I was in the house, maybe I would vote to keep her. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she means well. It's just, it didn't, she was with Corey the whole time. She didn't really do anything.
I know. She and Corey screwed themselves over by being so like into the showmance and like not trying to hide it at all. It really ruined their games.
Yeah, I agree.
Meanwhile, Felicia's speech, of course, she's mentioned her mustard seed. She loves
Oh my God, I almost told you, I'm sick of these mustard seed comments.
She's so obsessed with the notion that, you know, she's got her mustard seed. So funny. A faith of a mustard seed, y'all.
Oh my God. I can go the rest of my life without hearing that.
Well, you're probably going like to have to go a couple more weeks of hearing it, because I don't think Felicia's going anywhere anytime soon.
Nah, I think she'll be next on the block. No,
you
no matter who wins other than her and Sari. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Sari.
I know, true. At this point, they're both like ratting each other out, so.
For real. Godspeed.
America is evicted unanimously. Not surprising.
Ciao.
I was really sad about this just because I feel like.
I felt so bad when she was crying.
I know, and also.
Like, she was like, I just love this game. I love you.
Yeah,
like,
I think
so
because
sweet.
She's such
like,
a super fan.
Like this.
Yeah, I think because she's such a super fan, I have like a soft spot for her. And I also think that had she not hinged her game so much on Corey, like I think she would have been a better competitor and like someone that was more fun to watch. She had like, even in her interview with Julie is like probably what Blue would have wanted her interview to be like. She like had a great read on the game. She was being herself. She threw out that comment about like the competitions being more suited for like the men than the women. She talked about being a super fan. But yeah, I was bummed. I just feel like America was a really good super fan.
She just needed to make moves earlier.
Yeah, she didn't win anything, and she didn't make any big moves early on to set herself up for the end game, which screwed herself.
Yeah.
I was sad to see her go. And I think that's an unpopular opinion. Like, what I've been seeing on Twitter is a lot of people were, like, over her, which I totally get. But I was like, I don't know. I was kind of pulling for her.
Honestly,
once Corey
I didn't
was
mind
gone,
seeing her go, but once Corey was gone, like you were going to say, I was rooting for her.
Right? I'm like, I feel like whether she or Corey went home, I think I probably would have been rooting for whichever one. Just
whoever,
like,
once the other one went.
Yeah, like I like an underdog story, and I think that they probably would have been better without the other one in the house overall.
I agree.
But we'll see.
That's mostly the case.
What do you think is going to happen between Corey and America?
I think they'll date for a bit. And then after X amount of time, they either get married or they split up mutually. I don't think it'll be like an end badly.
Like a
thing.
Knockdown, drag out, like fight, crazy chaos thing.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, I don't see that either. I wish them all the best. I don't see it lasting, but I hope they prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so one thing I talked about in the last episode of the podcast a little bit, this was during like the spoilers section, so I wanted to throw it in here in case people didn't listen to the last episode. It's not a spoiler anymore because these weeks are already done, but I wanted to mention it. So I had a theory that obviously we know Jag was HOH 2 weeks in a row because he had like the invisible one and then he had the next one that he won. But I was like, what are the odds if he so obviously in the double he can't play HOH, but we got the HOH, she was HOH for like what, an hour, and then immediately after the episode ends they play another HOH competition. I'm not going to reveal who won it, but prior to this competition I was saying to myself, Jag could really be HOH for 3 weeks straight, minus an hour during the double. That is wild chaos. I was like, I feel like nothing like that has ever happened before. I'm getting nauseous
thinking about it.
Right? But I'm like, Jag has won so many competitions that the odds are so high of that happening. Yeah. So I just had the thought, but do you want to know who won HOH? I could tell you if you want, but if you want to be surprised, we can keep it a secret.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Ready? We're going to end the episode with you saying who won and my reaction.
Okay.
Then we leave it on a cliffhanger. And then next week, we replay it like a movie. Like, here's the recap.
And be like, do, this is what happened last week on Big Brother. Here's what
happened. We'll have the Law and Order thing. Dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. Gong, gong. Okay. So for people that don't want spoilers, now's your time to jump because we're talking.
See you later. Ciao, ciao. This is for the spoiler people only. If not, keep scrolling.
I don't know what the competition was, so that's not very helpful for you. The only thing I can tell you, which you already know, is that Bowie didn't play because she won the HOH in the double.
Well, yeah.
So,
was it a guy or a girl?
Who do you think? Guess.
Honestly,
you have to guess if it was a guy or a girl.
Well, I don't know what type of comp it was. I don't know either. Siri ain't winning. So my thought would either be Matt Jag or Felicia.
Okay.
But that doesn't really narrow it down. So it depends. If it's a mental comp, I would say either Jag or Felicia. If it's a physical comp, I would say Jag or Matt. So my thought would be Matt or Felicia.
Okay. Who's your final answer out of those two?
I'm going to say Felicia because I feel like you would have been happier if it was Matt.
Wrong. Matt won the HOH.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I was trying really hard not to give it away.
Well, we know Felicia and Siri are going up.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, or he could put Bowie up, I guess, technically.
He's not going to do that. Matt has not one piece of blood on his hands this entire game.
Do you think he'd backdoor Jag? Well, I guess there's no such thing as a backdoor because Jag gets to play the veto, but
Matt won the veto himself.
Maybe he'd do it.
Well, because say Siri won veto. Or no, say Bowie won veto and took, say, Siri off.
He'll have no choice.
In a world. He'd have no choice but to put Jag.
And then he doesn't get to vote. That would be crazy. Honestly, I don't know who he nominated, by the way, so I cannot confirm nor deny any of our suspicions.
I wonder if he even made noms yet.
I think it would have been today. It might be happening right now, actually. In real time. Let me check Twitter real fast.
No, don't tell me.
I won't.
Even though we know who it is.
It's just people making guesses. But yeah, me too. I'm excited to see what the competition was.
Is this his first HOH?
Yep.
I want to see my HOH room.
Oh, you will. You will, because I saw clips of it on Twitter, and there's a very specific reason why you will see it. But I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait to watch the episode.
I'm so excited.
But I don't want to spoil it.
I'm excited.
Go, Matt. That's a wrap on this episode. To join in on the discussion, use the hashtag OBrotherPodcast on social media. And you can find me at It's Me Bree Lee everywhere. Thanks for listening. Bye.